Go to Matthew chapter 6. Actually, this started only about 5 days ago, and it feels like an eternity in the last 5 days. It's amazing how things can move. I was asking the Lord about a word, what he wanted to say for the end of the year and the beginning of the year, and this word was for both. This was not just a word that I received by revelation. This is actually a word that I've been being exercised in personally. Even this morning, I had another round, but something very extraordinary happened on Friday afternoon. You know, if the Lord will let me share that, I will, in the Spirit. He brought me up in the Spirit, and he did some things. It was very amazing. Matthew 6, for the entire year of 2010, we were in what we have formerly called the right hand of God. The Lord began that, as you know, at the beginning of last year, and we were there the entire year. We never left that revelation because the explosiveness of it. And you all know we went through this journey. It's been really incredible. And one of the things we have learned is not only our access into the right hand of God, but all that Jesus did there and what he inherited there when he was raised from the dead and he was appointed heir of all things and all power and authority was appointed to him there. And Revelation 5 said, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessings." All of these things he inherited in the right hand of God, he did so on the behalf of the church. And what we also found out, we began to look into the ministry of the Holy Spirit, for it was the Holy Spirit that was sent from the Father. He proceeded from the Father, and he came in first before he came to the church. He came into the right hand of God, where Jesus inherited all that, and he received the entire inheritance. He said, and Jesus, in fact, he said this in John 16, he said, "He will receive of mine. All that the Father has is mine. He will receive it." Then his ministry, according to Amplified, says to declare, to disclose, and to transmit that inheritance to you here. He's been given charge to transmit the inheritance of Christ, and that fullness that Christ received, the Holy Spirit fills the earth with that. He manifests it. He materializes it into the earth. Now, seeing all that and understanding all that, we've been in that for a whole month. It's been incredible, brand new, in my opinion, revelation. Anyway, to me, the different roles that the Godhead plays, but the Holy Spirit has a very, very important role because he's the one that lives within us. But you have to understand the entire kingdom, he brought that with him. And that kingdom, he's been given the responsibility to release that kingdom, to manifest the spiritual kingdom and materialize it here on the earth. Now, knowing all of that, that was great. Now, what I found was a whole nother level. Amen. One of the things that happens is because he comes to live within us that we can hinder him. There are things within us that can block that flow of the kingdom. When the flow of the kingdom is blocked, guess what? There's only one word can be described. Once the Holy Spirit has been grieved, blocked, hindered, whatever you want to call it, we're destined for the wilderness at that point. Because his ministry at that point cannot release what he does. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Why? He brought all that with him to manifest in us and through us. But when his ministry is blocked, he can't perform what it is he's called to do. And when that happens, we dry up. Amen? Now, let's go to Matthew 6. As we got into this very heavily about praying, entering into that closet, shutting the door, what all that meant. God wanted you, before you even begin to pray, to learn him to come into where he is in the secret place. You shut the door to the world, the flesh, the devil, the first heaven, the second heaven. You come and then you pray. And then he talks about praying the prayer here in Matthew 6. And after he says, shut the door, look what he says here in Matthew 6, verse 9. He says, "After this manner, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven." So we're praying the Lord's Prayer. Now, notice what happens here at the end of the Lord's Prayer. In fact, every time the Lord, and I'm not going to belabor this because I've got to move on. Every time the Lord teaches on prayer, he also teaches on something else. Of course, we all think we do this. I, for one, thought I did this quite well. After 5 days, I feel like I'm just now getting started. I feel like I'm going to be another month, at least. Notice this. So he says, give us our day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we're praying for that kingdom, and we know the Holy Spirit's the one going to manifest that kingdom. Every time the Lord speaks on prayer, he's going to deal with this one issue here. Verse 12. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. A debtor is not just somebody that owes you money. A debtor is somebody that may have wounded you. And inside you're saying, you're going to pay. You're indebted to me. You ever had that with somebody? Of course, nobody in here has ever had that. Somebody wounds you, hurts you. Somebody offends you. Of course, we offer the normal prayers of, Father, I forgive them. But then 1 year goes by, 2 years go by, and you think about that person. You ever get in their presence and you just feel really funny? It's like, oh, I don't even want to be there. I was talking to one of my friends. He said he had to go to a funeral and all these people there. He goes, I don't want to be around any of them. I said, how come? He says, well, just a lot of things happen. I said, you know why? I said, all that stuff's still inside you. I said, in fact, the whole thing's still bound there. I said, you've forgiven to a level. But a whole lot of that's still bound up in there. And I said, in fact, they're still indebted to you. You ever had anybody ever wound you and you hear something really good's going on for them and you're just not happy about it? You just hear about that and you're like, I don't want to hear that. Or you just kind of walk off and somebody might have wounded you and you hear that things are really going well for them and you're going, just wait. Just wait. You know why? You ever heard this? You don't know what they did to me. That's an indebtedness, see? We're holding an indebtedness. Now listen to this. Verse 14, he says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you of your trespasses. Now, this particular area of trespass is not the stuff that's going on between us and God. It's not the salvation thing. A lot of people think, they always wonder about these scriptures. Say, well, if I don't forgive, will not my Father not forgive you? I says, not the trespass, he won't. I said, but this is not dealing with your salvation here. This is dealing with your operation in life and especially your flow to one another. But if there's a trespass, you know what a trespass is? Somebody trespassing on your land. They violate the land. When they trespass and that's not properly dealt with, what happens? There is an issue. And because of that, if it's not properly released, if it's not properly forgiven, if it's not properly handled, what happens? It ends up becoming what the Bible's going to call bound, which I'm going to talk to you about. Bound offenses. Retained offenses. Why don't we just jump right in, shall we? I'm dancing around and I'm just going to jump right in. Amen. No more dancing around. Go to John chapter 20. And go to Matthew 18. Put your finger in Matthew 18 and John chapter 20. We're going to get you set free or in your process to freedom here. God is going to open your life up. You know, if things are restricted in your life, if blessings are restricted, if the kingdom's restricted, it's because something in you has not been dealt with and it's blocking the flow of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 17, when Peter said, increase our faith, he said, look, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, he almost minimizes the operation of faith. He said, that's not what you need to be concerned with. If you just had a grain of a mustard seed, it's going to work for you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has brought the kingdom with him. He's going to be performing that. He doesn't need a lot of that, but what he needs is what he just got through talking about before. If your brother sin against you 7 times in a day, you better forgive him. You got to loose him. Every one of you in here, I know if you're like me, you already think I did that. Everyone, I want you to think of one person that hurt you real deeply in the last 5 years. Yeah, I've forgiven them. I know you prayed the prayer like me. Except when you get in their presence. Something, I feel funny. When I hear their name, I feel funny. Sometime every once in a while, I'll meditate on that person, and it's not the grandest thoughts. When somebody's talking about them, I can't wait to jump in and add mine. So let me tell you something you don't know about that situation. Do you know why you do that? I'll tell you why here in a minute. Matthew 18, verse 15 says, moreover, if thy brother trespass. Now listen, in Luke 17, Jesus said, it's impossible that offenses will not come. It's a very unique wording he used there. What he said is that, look, it's an impossible to even ask me for a set of circumstances in this life that offenses will not come. If you live in this world, they will come. It wasn't about them coming. It's not about the injustice, because every one of us are going to suffer injustice one time or another. If you have suffered injustice, raise your hand. Every one of us have been through something like this. It's not the fact you're going to go through it. It's how you're going to handle it. How many of you said, Father, forgive them? I forgive them, Father. And here's how we do it. Father, I forgive them. Amen. God bless you. I don't want to see you anymore. You live on that side of the planet. I live on this side of the planet. I forgive them. I love them. I don't have to like them, but I love them. And that's what we call forgiveness, right? Just stay away from me. I stay away from you. As long as we don't see each other, I'll try not to growl when I hear your name. And that's forgiveness. Problem is, it's not what happened there. It's the trespass that's been created in the kingdom. And that trespass gets bound to you. Matthew 18, the entire chapter is about offenses. And he's talking about, watch this, he says, moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. He goes and tells you how to handle the situation. I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction the way the Holy Spirit's been telling me how to handle the situation. Listen, before you go to your brother when you're all wounded, the last thing you really need to do is get in the presence of your brother when you're all wounded, because what's going to happen is you're going to start fighting again. Because you're wounded. You're hurt. You can't wait for them to just say something, and all of a sudden, ah! I want you to just look at that word trespass. You see that? That word is the Greek word hamartano. Hamartano. Go to John chapter 20. We're going to look at another hamartano. That's not Americano. That's hamartano. John 20. Oh, we got the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to show you today how the Holy Spirit can clean the house. I'm going to tell you right now, just trust me on this, for every 3 people you think you've bound, there's probably 10 to 15 times 3. Every time I go in there, mother, I said, oh no, oh no. And I go in there and said, oh no. I mean, he just keeps opening up, but I'm telling you, the power of God to cleanse this stuff. Woo! I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm so excited about this. John chapter 20, verse 22. When he said this, he breathed on him and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now notice the first instruction he says, whosoever sins you remit, are you loose, you let go, you forgive, you keep no longer, they are remitted. Whoever sins are retained, they are retained. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Except the word sin there, guess what the Greek word for that word sin? Hamartano. Trespass. When someone trespasses against you, whatever you remit will be remitted. Whatever you retain will be retained. What does it mean by that? In Matthew 18, he said it like this. Whatever you bind on the earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. The trespasses that we encounter with one another on a daily, weekly, yearly, annually, decade, all of these things, if they're not properly dealt with under heaven, they get bound to you. That's why 5 years later when something happened, even though there's a lot of space and you're not really feeling the pain, when you get in the presence of somebody, you start feeling very uncomfortable again. I haven't seen them in 5 years, but now I'm like, you know why you feel uncomfortable? Because they are still bound to you because what happened was not properly dealt with. There was a level of forgiveness, but it wasn't loosed. It wasn't remitted from your life. The trespass remained. And because it remained, it's blocking the flow of the kingdom within you. And when the Lord started opening this up to me, you know, I thought he's just calling me just to handle one or two situations. I found myself handling probably over 40 or 50, and I've already got a lot more. Of course, I'm a pastor, and I dealt with a lot of things, you know, and I made a lot of mistakes. One of the things I found when I'm retaining these things, and I didn't know I was retaining it all that gets all plugged up in there. What happens is you'll pray, and you can function in certain levels, but then other levels just will not flow from your life. They're blocked. You're plugged up, and you don't know it because you've retained things that were supposed to have been loosed. If you bind it, it's going to be bound in heaven. If it gets bound in heaven, God himself cannot flow through that until the trespass is healed. And so what the Lord began to share with me, he says, you forgive at a level. He goes, but your forgiveness is normally one single prayer. Father, I forgive them, and then get out of their presence. And he goes, and you think because being away from them that the situation has been dealt with, because you're not in the immediate arena of pain, the immediate arena of woundedness. I don't have to be in your presence, so I don't have to deal with this all the time. Unless you know you're a husband and wife and you just go at it. But if it's a situation like a lot of trespasses, a lot of times even at work, you'll have situations with somebody, you know, I don't like them. I remember when I used to work in secular world, there was just some of the guys I worked with I didn't like at all. They didn't like me. I didn't like them. And I justified that. But I didn't know all that stuff can compound on the inside of us. I certainly didn't know it when I moved into pastoring and how one retained offense, the enemy can build silently upon it. And build and build and build. See, I was mistaking being healed for being numb. I was numb. Do you know that when you're at the dentist, when they're drilling on you, if you get a look in their mirror while they're drilling, every once in a while they'll let you look at that and say, here, I want you to show you. I said, don't show me that. I don't want to look at that. When they're drilling on you, trust me, if you weren't numb, the pain would be there. But because you're numb, you're not feeling it, but it's there. There is a situation. There is a root canal going on. An abscess. But sometimes you can shoot some numbness in there. You don't feel it, but it's still there. And because it's still there, it's blocking the flow, because God himself said, if you cannot forgive men their trespasses against you, neither can your Father forgive you. He's not talking about a salvation issue. You're already saved. He's talking about issues with one another. And if we cannot obtain the Father's forgiveness, guess what? The Holy Spirit, the one he sent through the Lord Jesus Christ, will be bound in our life and manifesting the kingdom of God. And we will live in a perpetual wilderness wondering why we can't get out. We confess. We give. We do. We serve. Well, yet we can't enter into the land because of retained offense. Today I want to talk to you about how to deal with a retained trespass, with a trespass that's been bound, with a person that's been bound. Just show of hands while I'm talking. If you feel in your conscience that you may have someone in there, just maybe, that had not been properly dealt with, raise your hand. Everyone, look around. If you did not raise your hand, I'll assure you, you have a whole lot more. And for that one that you have, once you start going and the Holy Spirit starts exploring that, and I'm going to show you how he's going to do that. I'm going to spend the rest of the service. He's going to open up something else. Then he's going to go open something else up. I'm like, how deep does this go? He says, you either do it here or you do it when you come to heaven. He goes, because every man will give an account of everything done in the body. I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. But actually you do. It's the most amazing process. And what the Lord began to share with me, he said, son, you've got to do a whole lot more than to say, I forgive you. Listen, I went through sozo on some of this stuff and still retained it. Because there wasn't the level of deep healing that was orchestrated by the Holy Ghost that could literally loose a bound offense. I'm going to show you how to loose it. To do it, you're going to have to obtain mercy for yourself and for the one that offense is bound with. They're probably not going to do that for you. Somebody in the trespass is going to have to become an intercessor. To do that, you're going to have to so thoroughly forgive them. And normally when we're retaining something, it's because we feel justified in retaining it. I'm going to say that again. Normally, if we're retaining something, I feel enough justification of why I am retaining you right now. You owe me. Do you have any idea what you did? I was innocent. You probably were. It doesn't matter if you're guilty or innocent, because in God's kingdom, love is the only thing that will justify. And I can assure you of something. When you go into this process, the first thing you're going to have to do is recognize that you have some interior blockage. If you don't recognize, you haven't spent enough time in the wilderness yet. How many of you know the wilderness is a good teacher? You know what the wilderness teaches us? Guess what the wilderness teaches us? Get me out of here. And if this year's wilderness doesn't teach you that, then another year's wilderness, every time we'll get a little bit more obedient. But we need the tools. It's not just obedience. We need to know how to do this. How many of you ready to come out of your wilderness? How many of you ready to actually pray and the Lord do something? You know, I have seen answered prayers in the last 3 or 4 days, things happening. I am so excited what's going to happen this year. In fact, this whole month long, we are going to dedicate to cleansing the temple. And then we're not going to just say a prayer. We're going to do what God said to do. Amen. The first thing we're going to do. Are you ready? We go to Matthew 5. Let me give you a fruit of this. Let me show you some fruits of things that how to recognize if you have a bound offense. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. A lot of times, something and someone can be bound, a trespass can be bound, but you have forgiven them in a certain level. You truly have. In fact, I was just watching Joyce Myers right after this. I turn her on TV, and she comes up there, and she says, you know, for years, I struggled forgiving my father. I'd forgive him one level after another, until he decided to come move right next to me. Because she openly said that, you know, there was sexual defilement there. And she openly shares that. But she said, I could forgive him, but God was starting to do something, and God moved him next to me. And she goes, I felt so uncomfortable. She goes, that was a whole nother level. You know what she was doing? You remember the story in Matthew 18 about the king that forgave and loosed the debt? He had a debt that he couldn't pay. Frankly, he said he forgave him and then loosed him. Here's the key. You not only have to forgive, but we're going to have to go through the process to loose. Let me tell you something. You cannot do this in your own strength. You cannot do it in your own love. Forget about it. You are not going to heal a trespass under heaven with your own love and your own strength. That's not what we're after. I'm going to teach you how to access pure, unadulterated, perfect love. And it is so available, especially when you are actively engaged in loving your enemies or the ones that have hurt you the most, the ones that have deeply wounded you. If you say, I'm not hurt, I got everything, sure you are. You just have a real tough exterior, women and men. But inside, it's there. You know what Paul said in Acts? He said this. He goes, I strive to live with my conscience void of offense with God and man. If someone's lodged into your conscience, they are bound. They are retained. There is a trespass that's retained. That's why Joyce would get very uncomfortable with the thought of him moving right next to him. I can love you from a distance because I've forgiven you from a distance, but if we're going to have to start looking at each other again, that's another story because I feel very uncomfortable. The reason you do, you've retained it. If we don't get rid of these retained trespasses, it is what's blocking the ministry of the Holy Spirit right now. The people of God, we are full of it. I know if I'm full of it, you've got to have a little bit of it. I got a lot of it, and it's being washed daily. I mean, he took a chunk the other day. Just, he took a 3-year period of my life and just, whew. Matthew 5, verse 44. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit told me. He said, before you start going to somebody, let me deal with the situation in the spirit first before you try to start handling things in the natural. Because just going to somebody saying, I'm sorry, that may be a good thing. But if you're not healed internally, it's still going to go with you. It's still going to be retained. It's still going to be bound. All right? Matthew 5, let's look at verse 44. Let's see what the Lord had to say about it. But I say unto you, love your enemies. I'll stop for a minute. How do you love your enemy? Most of the time, your enemy won't have anything to do with you. They certainly won't be in your presence very long. So how do you actually love your enemy? They're not around you. He's going to tell you. Or love the person that's trespassed against you. Bless them that curse you. Have you ever actually tried to do that? You're going to learn. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. I'll pray for you. Father, deal with them. Do you have any idea what they did to me? Deal with them, Father. Do you have any idea who I am in the spirit? Messing with me? My Father's with me. He's going to deal with you. Of course, he's not going to deal with you any. He's just going to deal with them. Because you're not at fault, are you? Here's our way of praying. Father, I pray for them. Amen. I bless them. Amen. You know, what we want to do is just get away from it. I'll tell you what that's not saying. Father, I pray for them. I bless them. Amen. I don't have anything else to do with them. I'm going to live on this side of the world. They're going to live on this side of the world. Amen. They're yours, Father. You deal with them. I can't. Amen. That is not going to loose a retained offense. Number one, you haven't been healed, and you have no authority as an intercessor to obtain mercy on their behalf. For that offense to be healed, you are going to have to obtain the mercy from heaven on their behalf. And you cannot obtain mercy for somebody you're not healed from. And if you don't obtain the mercy, that bound offense will go with you and it will block the flow of God in your life. That's why we live miserably comfortable. That's why we go on, we have this atmosphere, we fight all the time. We're up, we're down, we're in, we're out. You know, it's like we're good, you know, and then we're not so good. We're in order, out of order, in alignment, out of alignment, just constantly. You remember the day when you're first born again and the pure Holy Spirit was flowing through you with innocence and there was just purity of the kingdom? I mean, it was just such a free flow. It's supposed to be that way. What do you think the enemy did? Plugged you up. He does it consecutively, silently, underneath, gets you to live with it. After all, it's easy to justify having something that's retained. I have no problem. I justified a lot of it. After all, I was innocent. I justify a lot of it because I was just the innocent one. It doesn't matter. The trespass is there. I might be innocent, but I'm wounded. Just because you're innocent, you might be wounded. If you're wounded, you're innocently wounded. But now the trespass has plugged the Holy Spirit up and the kingdom is not flowing. It's because everyone's got a lot of stuff. There's a lot of junk in the trunk because I wasn't willing to look at any of that. Well, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to start with this one person. Who's that one person? The one that's in your conscience right now. Everyone's got one good one you can start with, I can assure you. I hope it's not me. Praise God. It might be. Hallelujah. I hope it's not me. I hope. If it is, trust me, I've been judged more than you can imagine in the last 5 days, and it's just getting started. So Paul said, it's a light thing to be judged of you after I've been judged of the Lord. I had no idea what he was going to open up. And he said, what I want you to do, son, I want you to begin praying for this person. I don't want you to pray a prayer. I want you to be praying for them. I want you to spend time blessing them. Now, everybody in here can do that because it doesn't require any kind of eloquence or knowledge to bless somebody. It does require time, and it does require you face a very difficult situation. But remembering, in facing this situation, God's not going to have you face it on your own. It won't be long. He'll start showing up. First started, the first 2 days felt nothing. The last 3 days, I'm like, oh no, we got to do this again. But it's incredible, just incredible what he's doing. And I remember this one particular person probably wounded me more deeply than anybody. See, one of the things you got to realize, you can be wounded and you're not all that great. You're not that tough. It doesn't matter how strong you are. You're just not that tough. Things get in. It's just the way it is. Now, you can act like it didn't happen, but everybody else is going to know it because you're going to walk around growling all the time. If there's bitterness, if there's anger, all that stuff is because something's locked down in there. And the Lord said, I want you to begin praying. Man, I started lifting this person. I'm, how can I pray for them like that? I mean, Father, I bless them. He said, again. I bless them, Father. I ask you to do them good. There's nothing in me that meant any of that. I can tell you right now, I didn't want them blessed. I actually told him, I said, Lord, I really don't want to see them blessed right now. I said this, you know what they did? He said, yeah, son, they're indebted to you. I understand that. You're holding that debt and you're making them pay for that. But I'm the only one that could pay for that trespass. Now, as I began to do this, I spent literally about 20 to 30 minutes just out of just sheer obedience to do it. Father, I bless them. I bless them. I thank you for them. Nothing the first day. The second day, I actually started feeling a little bit of love for them. Something started releasing in me. By the third day, after happening what I'm about to show you, totally healed me. Completely healed me to where I was so overjoyed at the prospect of bringing this person before God and loving them and blessing them so much that I didn't want to quit. It was so glorious and got to be so glorious that if that person walked through that door today, I'd go give them a big old hug and tell them how much I love them. But before that, I promise you, I could smile in their presence, but inside, I would feel very uncomfortable in their presence because I had retained so much of that. Boy, that was just the beginning. Man, when that started, it started a chain reaction. It's still happening. I just did one this morning. It's glorious, though. Because I've learned to access the love of God on the behalf of that person. But what happens first, though, is you're going to have to obtain mercy yourself.
And sometime that's going to require a judgment. What I mean by that, heaven's going to show you your heart in the matter. That I wasn't so innocent as I thought I was. And when I got caught up in this place of glory, when trying to forgive them, his love, first he came real softly, and then it was like Rick Joyner's book. Anybody ever read that Judgment Seat of Christ, that part? The intensity of his dealings. When he was through with me in these areas towards these people, I was like, I have nothing to say. In no way could I ever justify anything I did. Guilty, guilty, guilty. It was necessity that I be brought through that process that I could obtain his mercy for me. All right? This takes us to the next level. Okay, go now to Hebrews. I'm going to spend the rest of the service talking about the throne of grace. Hebrews 4. Before you go there, go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, Deuteronomy 25, Hebrews 4, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. Y'all ready? Shaka booyah. I have learned to access pure love from heaven. My, is it awesome. Isaiah 53, I'm going to read out of the Amplified, verse 4. Surely he's borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distress, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Now notice this. Okay, wounded for transgression, bruised for iniquity. But notice this. He says the chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. But he had already borne our sicknesses and carried our pains on the cross. So if he had already borne our sickness and carried our pains, what was the stripes? The chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Go to Deuteronomy 25 real quick. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. He says, if there be a controversy between men, there be a trespass, there be strife, and they come unto the judgment, that the judges may judge them. Oh, he does this. When they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault, a certain number, up to 39 stripes. Whew. For a trespass between one another, 39 stripes. Anybody want to go under the law? This is what Jesus was standing in the seat of. Is he came in and said, I am the innocent lamb, and I will bear the iniquity of every trespass done among men. I will stand. And when he laid his back to the smiters, they, for the chastisement of our lack of peace, broke his body, shredded his back. It was broken right there, you and I. And that was an act of redemption, of substitution and redemption. And now there is a grace of healing that can be obtained on the behalf of the party. But one of those parties is going to have to access that grace, that healing. If it's not accessed, both parties will walk away with a bound offense. Both parties will walk away with a retained offense. You might forgive them enough till you're not bitter. Well, they tell you the progression of where we live. It starts with an offense. Offense produces resentment. Resentment unchecked, we'll move into unforgiveness. That's where we usually live, somewhere in between there. All it takes is resentment to bind it. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Bitterness to anger. Anger to hatred. Hatred to violence. Violence to murder. Murder to death. Now, most of us check it up around in the offense line, the unforgiveness. But if someone's violated you and that entered in, not properly dealt with, that gets bound and retained. What we're going to do this month is get it all loosed. And the way we're going to do that is obtain the grace for the chastisement of our lack of peace. Where there's been trespasses, we can obtain grace. But you're going to have to be healed first before you're going to become an intercessor. I'm not going to be their intercessor. Then you haven't yet learned to overcome. You've just learned to endure. Most of the time when we first get hurt, what do? Run. When we first come in the kingdom, we get hurt. See ya. I'm out of here. Goodbye. This church hurt me. Or this person hurt me. You go to the next church, they'll hurt you too. Hurting people hurt people. You're not going to be guaranteed any place you're going to go. It's going to be free. It's not going to happen. When we learn not to run, what do? We learn to stand. So then we learn to take it. And you're going to learn the sufferings of Christ because you take. And you learn to embrace the difficulty. I'm not running. And those who have learned not to run, they embrace and they become good soldiers. But they learn to embrace things. They learn to suffer, but they don't run. They learn to just hold it. But that is not the end run of what the Lord's looking for. He wants the next level to overcome. To overcome the injustices of life that have been assigned against you. To do that, you will have to access His unconditional love. You cannot overcome this stuff with anything in your present human arsenal. You cannot. You'll have to access what He did for you to overcome. If you're not willing to do that, you probably haven't suffered enough. I've suffered enough to realize I'm ready now to overcome. Now that I'm ready to overcome, I'm ready to do what it is you want me to do. It's to face the difficulty. But now I've learned to face it in the love of God. I actually can't wait for the next session of what He does in the depth of His perfect love. Go to Hebrews now. I want to spend time now on the essence of the throne of grace. I'm going to show you what to do with these people with a retained offense. Because once you unlock one of them, the chain reaction is going to begin. You're going to see another and another and another and another. And you're going to find the ones that have really locked you down in life. And they can go real far back. And here's what a psychiatrist can do. They can open your well and they can even have you look around. You can cry some tears. Because you can see all that, but the psychiatrist doesn't have access to the love of the Father and the Holy Spirit that can take that bound offense and remove it from you. Sometime in sozo you can, but other times you're going to have to spend time loving this person. And the way you're going to love your enemy is first in spirit. You're going to bring them before the throne of grace. And you're going to spend time with them. How do I know? Because I have. And they are going to be more real to you than the person sitting right next to you. You're going to find if you bound somebody and you bring them to the throne of grace in the spirit, they are right there. Let me give you this scripture. I'll tell you some of these things. I mean, once you get free, you don't really care about it anymore. You only hide. When you're bound, you want to hide. Everybody likes to hide when they're bound, but when you're free, you're transparent. You're okay with it. When you're hiding, you don't want anybody to know that all that stuff's going on. They already know anyway. Believe me, the more people get free, the more they're going to know, but they don't care because they see you with perfect love. Hebrews 4, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All right, look at this, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What is throne of grace? What is grace? Grace is what He purchased. He substituted Himself on your behalf and then purchased redemption for you. There's a lot of things you obtain at the throne of grace, but I want to teach you how to obtain mercy for yourself and grace on the behalf of a retained offense to where it gets washed, cleansed, lifted, and removed. Trust me, it's an awesome process. Therefore, come boldly in the throne of grace. Look at this. There's two things you're going to do here. First, you're going to obtain mercy.
That mercy is going to be attained for you first. The mercy, the forgiveness of the offense and the trespass. You're going to need some mercy, my friend. Because you're going to find out when you start doing this, you're not as holy as you thought you were going into the process. You're not nearly as justified as you thought you were going into the process. Because the first thing he's going to do in dealing with the retained offense is show you you. I'm going to tell you, you cannot obtain grace on the behalf of somebody that you cannot obtain first. God's got to show you your heart first. If he does not show you your heart, you cannot obtain healing for them. And the stuff will go on. He says you obtain mercy and find grace. Now the throne of grace is abundant. It's wonderful. When the Lord started beginning to show me, he said, I want you, before you go to them, write letters to them, doing them good, you're not healed. You're not whole. You're still bound. He goes, I want you to spend time loving them, blessing them, praying for them at the throne of grace. I want you to present them before the throne of grace. You're not going to be hard because you've already retained them. They're going to be right there. Trust me. They're not there in bodily form, but they're there in spirit. Do you understand? When you start bringing something like this before God, Father, I just come before the throne of grace and I bring this person because I had retained them so long. It's like they're right there. And all of a sudden I start seeing and reliving the entire situation in the spirit in a depth that's not even like this earth. And I see the whole thing again, but I, more importantly, I'm in his light. I brought the retained offense, the trespass into his light. This time I wasn't looking at them. His light was pointing at me. I started seeing my side, not the self-justification side. And I began repenting with a repentance that you're just not going to get outside of being in that type of atmosphere. And as I began to bring them before, and I begin to bless them and said, Father, I lift this person and I bless them and I thank you for their life. And I begin to pray for their family and their children and their life, their calling and all these things. I didn't want them to succeed. I didn't want to hear of their success. All of a sudden, I'm pouring it out of my heart. And I'd spent 2 or 3 sessions with these people. And I remember this last session, the Lord said, now I want you to bring the trespass. You've loved them now. There was love restored in my heart because I was accessing his perfect love on the behalf of someone that deeply wounded me. By the time I was done, I wasn't wounded anymore. And because I wasn't wounded anymore, he says, now you're ready to obtain the grace for the relationship. Son, obtain the grace. Receive the grace, for the chastisement of your lack of peace was laid upon me, and by my stripes you're healed. Father, I receive that healing on the behalf of this trespass. They're loosed. I loose them. You're blessed. You owe me nothing. I owe you nothing but to love you. This trespass is healed under heaven and earth, and that's been loosed in the earth is loosed in heaven. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just whoom. He's all over it. And that thing just lifted. And the freedom and the liberty, I'll tell you what started happening. I was being unveiled like an onion. I mean, just one layer after another. You know why? Because darkness is darkness. You can't see. And because all that darkness there, I didn't know all this stuff was down in there. I started looking down. And the next thing he did, I'm going to tell you some things that happened. I'm going to be a little transparent. What probably wounded me more than anything was the split we went through 3 years ago. It was an extremely difficult time when church split off. There's a lot of things said that weren't true. There was a lot of things done. And the Lord said, don't defend yourself, all this kind of thing. But I felt justified in certain ways. But at the same time, I was deeply wounded. But I said, I'm innocent of this thing. I'm innocent. I kept saying, I'm innocent. And the Lord, on New Year's Eve, on Friday, said, I want you to bring that entire trespass to me and every party involved. It was the most, how can you describe what happened? And I can't.
other than when he was through with me, all of my innocence, all that I'm innocent in this situation, all my self-justification, all my pride was totally stripped down to where I could say nothing against it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how to explain this, but when you're in the Spirit, in the presence of somebody in the Spirit and praying for them at the right hand of God, it's like they're right there. Because they're retained, they're right there, and I was asking their forgiveness. And the Lord spoke to me right in the middle of all this. He said, "Son, when Judas lifted his heel against me, it cost me my life. I washed his feet of the sin before he did it." He said, "You're all clean, but not one." And he goes, "I washed that, and I knew it would cost my life. I loosed him before he ever did it." He goes, "These men did not cost your life, but they did cost a major part of your ministry. But it cost me my life, and I did that as a redemption for you." When Stephen was standing there being stoned under the order of Saul to be stoned, he looks into the right hand of God full of the Holy Ghost. He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." He looses them right there. The men that are going to kill him, he forgives and looses them. And that's what gave the authority of the Father to go after Saul right there, because Stephen loosed him. And because he was loosed, God went right after him. Your offenses hadn't cost your life because you're here. How great is his love? How great is it? When he was through, I had nothing else to say, but I obtained mercy on the behalf of myself. And when I obtained the mercy, I knew, and the Lord said, "If you would not have done this here, you would have had to face it when you met me in heaven, because everyone will give an account of everything done." He goes, "You're either going to go through it here or there, but if you go through it here, I can cleanse the temple and I can work through you. Or you're going to live bound the rest of your life. Which one do you want?" And I brought it before him, and when I was done, I was washing their feet in the Spirit and telling these people how much I love them, and the love that it's not of this world. And the beauty of that thing went so deep by the time he was done that he healed something that could have defiled my life. And the Lord said, he goes, "I could not birth what you asked me to birth out of that defilement. It was not loosed. All of that had been retained inside the vision holder. I could not have birthed what you were asking me to birth. And neither can many of my people are asking me to birth things, but they have retained defilement. And until that defilement has been loosed, they're going to continue to carry. And they're asking me to do things to birth out of defilement. And they must first find forgiveness. And they must loose the retained offense." And the power of the love of God to do this is extraordinary. It's extraordinary. You'll find you love these people with a love that's so great, by the time you're done, you can't wait for them to walk through the door. You can't wait till the time the Holy Ghost will set up a meeting. You just can't wait for something. And it's like the whole heart changed. That was just one session. A 3-year block dealt with in one session. I said, "Lord, how much is in there?" He said, "That doesn't matter." He said, "What matters is we're going to get it all out. My love has the power to cleanse it all. Because I want you to be an intercessor with me on the behalf." He goes, "Because when we can obtain the grace, guess what? God does not hold it to their charge anymore either. He's free to release them and bless them." Once you can obtain it for somebody else, God's free to bless them. "Oh, I don't want them blessed." That's because you're retaining it. Once you find his love, you do want them highly blessed. You want everybody blessed. You'll start seeing everybody in a different light. You'll see everything in a different light. You'll find a lot of your interior attitudes is because you have built in offenses, some of it from your childhood. I was about to approach somebody that was with us very, very early in ministry. I saw them, and somebody else just comes up. I'm in the presence of the Spirit of God. Their face just comes up. "No, so this person, I love this person." And they really never wounded on an eye in a sense like that. They weren't vicious, but they left. And it left a big hole in our heart, you know, because they were so close to us. And I never dealt with that. And that was one of the most precious times you're going to experience the preciousness of God's love in a way that just amazing. And when it's time, God will have you then remit. You'll loose the situation and they'll be forever his. But you'll have a perfect heart towards them. And if their name is spoken, you'll just smile. That's the power of it. Is it awesome? We will not become what he wants us to be until we allow him to do this work in us. Before we let you go today, I want to pray for you all. I want you to bow your heads. As I know why you've been listening today, what he really wants you to do is spend time with these people. It's a hard thing to do, but you're going to grow in leaps and bounds when you do this. If you don't, you're going to stay where you are. So, Father, we approach the throne of grace today, the behalf of any and all trespasses, and especially the one we see right now, the person we've been looking at today, maybe be the first opportunity we have to overcome, Father, not just to bear the weight of it. So we lift Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith to you, Mr. A or Mr. B, father, mother, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, bosses, co-workers, pastors, friends, those that lifted their heel against us, Lord, we bring them before the throne of grace, and we need your mercy, Jesus. We need your healing. We've retained these situations. We've retained. We ask for the power of your Holy Spirit and your great love. We lift this person today. And I want you to just take a minute and just begin bless them. You don't have to call their name, but just begin to bless the person you see. Father, we bless them. We ask you to do them good and not evil all the days of their life. We ask, Father, for the beauty of your glory to rest upon them, their family, their business, that everything they set their hands to do, Father, is blessed in this year to come, that they flourish and multiply, that your favor rest upon them, that your goodness and mercy follow them all the days of their life, that you do them good, Father, the goodness from your kingdoms extend to them, that we bless them today. We pray for them today, Father. We lift them before the throne of grace, Father, to obtain healing, to obtain forgiveness of the trespass, Father, that is an intercessor. We hold them before you and ask your forgiveness of the trespass, Father. That we obtain your grace, Jesus, for the chastisement of our lack of peace. It was laid upon you. Your body was broken. It was bruised. It was shredded. That we could be made whole. We could be made whole. Today, we commit to love them. Today, we commit to pray for them and bless them. Cleanse the temple. Cleanse the foundation. Teach us to overcome. Not just to bear the burden of it, but to overcome. With your great love, to overcome. Help them, Holy Spirit, in their journey this week. As they begin to pray for us, you help them. And let the love of God be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost that's been given unto us. We give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor. We thank you. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. That we can live with our conscience void of offense before God and man. In your mighty name, Jesus.